So we're starting this morning with the Psalms are divided into five books. To the best of my knowledge, the divisions are fairly arbitrary, but in fact they do that. And the second block of Psalms, the second book, it's divided into five to parallel the Pentateuch, the five books of the Torah. We're starting with Psalm 42 and 43, which you'll see, and the text will prove it, is actually one psalm. I don't know why it's divided into two in the Bible, but it's clearly one piece of music. And Psalm 42 is the first two parts of it, and the third part is Psalm 43. It's interesting to note that God is invoked 22 times in this combined psalm. And in fact, there are 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet. It's not divided alphabetically. It's not an acrostic psalm, but it is, I'm sure, not accidental that God is invoked so often. And you wouldn't know that unless you looked really carefully. Count it when you go home. But the point of that is it's comprehensive. You see, it's the idea is it's a symbol of the whole. It wants to kind of embrace everything about this wonderful God in doing that. And the central theme is of God's absence. That's why I want to spend a lot of time on it, because it's very beautiful, and for most of us, God is absent most of the time. I don't mean really absent, but felt as absent. You might have the sense of God's presence all day long. God bless you. Come and sit next to me. I'd love to be getting the radiance of it. But in fact, for most of us, and that's absolutely expected, because we've got these little tiny 5-watt eyes and we're looking at the infinite. It's like you get blind when you look at the sun and you can't see. So as we draw closer to God, we go into a nothingness. Nada, I think, is the Spanish of John of the Cross. We go into a place where we believe and we know in faith, but we don't experience the presence. That's obviously normal. So therefore, I want to begin not with the psalm itself, but with John of the Cross, with two of his beautiful pieces of poetry. The Spaniards tell me he's one of the greatest writers in the Spanish language. Well, you've obviously got it in translation now, so it's the best we can do. And this is the first part of the spiritual canticle. I'm going to read it, very literally translated from the Spanish. It's not a beautiful, not meant to be beautiful, it's meant to be word for word literal, but I think it carries the beauty anyhow. And then I'm going to let John Michael Talbot sing it for you on a CD. Where have you hidden, beloved, and left me moaning? You fled like a stag after wounding me. I went out calling you, and you were gone. Shepherds, you that go up through the sheepfolds to the hill, if by chance you see him I love most, tell him that I sicken, suffer, and die. Seeking my love, I will go off to the mountains and to the waterside. I will not gather flowers nor fear wild beasts. I will go beyond strong men and frontiers. O woods and thickets planted by the hand of my beloved, O green meadow coated bright with flowers, tell me, has he passed by you? Pouring out 1,000 graces, he passed these groves in haste and looked at them. With his image alone, he clothed them in beauty. Ah, who has power to heal me? Now wholly surrender yourself. Do not send me any more messengers. They cannot tell me what I must hear. All you, all who are free, tell me 1,000 graceful things of you. All wound me more and leave me dying of I know not what behind their stammering. How do you endure, O life not living where you live? and being brought near death by the arrows you receive from that which you conceived of your beloved? Why, since you wounded this heart, do you not heal it? And why, since you stole it from me, do you leave it so and fail to carry off what you have stolen? Extinguish these miseries, since no one else can stamp them out. And may my eyes behold you, because you are their light, and I would open them to you alone. Reveal your presence, and may the vision of your beauty be my death. For the sickness of love is not cured except by your presence and image. O crystal spring, if only on your silvered over face you would suddenly form the eyes I desire, which I bear sketched deep within my heart. That's the first part only of John of the Cross's spiritual canticle, talking obviously about a longing and an absence. I'm now going to play for you, just for your listening, the first few verses of it by John Michael Talbot.
I have searched for my love in the mountains. I have searched among the meadows and the fields. He has poured out a thousand graces in them. so my heart might be healed. Yet my heart is not healed. Where have you hidden, beloved? Why have you wounded my soul? I went out to the wilderness calling for you, but you were gone.
Can you handle a bit more, John of the Cross? Okay. Well, this is another one of his beautiful, it's One Dark Night. Written when he was in Toledo in the prison. And all he could hear, he was in a monastery prison. They kept him there because they thought he was a heretic. He was also trying to reform the order, and no one likes to be reformed. So they had him in there. And all he could hear was the stream, as the winter snows melted, he could hear it way down playing on the rocks, and he composed this in his heart and wrote it after he left. It's called One Dark Night. One dark night, fired with love's urgent longings, ah, the sheer grace. I went out unseen, my house being now all stilled. In darkness and secure, by the secret ladder disguised, ah, the sheer grace. In darkness and concealment, my house being now stilled. On that glad night, in secret, for no one saw me, nor did I look at anything, with no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart. This guided me more surely than the light of noon to where he waited for me, him I knew so well, in a place where no one else appeared. O guiding night, O night more lovely than the dawn, O night that has united the lover with his beloved, transforming the beloved in her lover. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept wholly for him alone, there he lay sleeping, and I caressed him there in a breeze from the fanning cedars. When this breeze blew from the turret, parting his hair, he wounded my neck with his gentle hand, suspending all my senses. I abandoned and forgot myself, laying my face on my beloved. All things ceased. I went out from myself to leave my cares forgotten among the lilies. And now again, John Michael Talbot.
Grace in the the darkness, I went out unseen, my house being all now still. Ladder disguised all the sheer grace in the darkness, and in my concealment, my house being all now still. Saw me, nor did I see any other thing at all, with no other light to guide me than the light burning in my light guided me more surely than the light of the noon, to where he lay waiting for me, waiting for me. Him I knew so well, in a place no one else appeared. Oh, guiding night, a light more lovely than the dawn. Has united ever now, the lover now with his beloved, transforming two now into one. My flowering breast, there he lay sleeping, which I kept for him alone, and I embraced him, and I caressed him. Suspending all my senses. forgetting myself. Laying my face on my beloved, all things ceasing, I went out from myself to leave my cares forgotten with the lilies of the field.
With its smoothest hand, caress.
Okay, so it's John of the Cross. Again, just before we begin the Psalm 42, which is about absence, I'll read you from the following psalm these few verses that pick up the feel of it. Because the sense is of God's absence, but we don't know why, and we think, what have we done wrong? That's a natural feeling, until we become aware that it may have nothing to do with anything we've done wrong. It may be the fact that God is drawing us into the mystery, which is beyond our feelings. So Psalm 44 puts it beautifully, all this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have covered us with deep darkness. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? And my mind went to Jesus on the cross. You know, he's dying there. My God, why have you abandoned me? Same question. And he says, I am thirsty. Thirsty for what this psalm is going to talk about. And here, again, staying in the New Testament for a moment, Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never be thirsty. Meaning, you'll never be thirsty for any other kind of water. The water that I will give will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. He's talking to the woman at the well. He'll offer her something which will keep gushing up forever. And the book of Revelation, to conclude the New Testament, and these are nearly the last words. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Asking God to come, the Lord to come. Maranatha, you know. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. And I'll conclude back with the Old Testament, the wisdom of the book of Sirach. Come to me, all you who desire me. Eat your fill of my fruits, for the memory of me is sweeter than honey, and the possession of me is sweeter than the honeycomb. Those who eat of me will hunger for more. Those who drink of me will thirst for more. So, Psalm 42.